بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, first of all, I want to commend the guys who made this video for really finding someone who looked so close to me and who acted and sounded just like me. So great job in finding someone like that. I guess my twin brother that's out there somewhere that I've never met. In any case, I want to welcome you all, because I haven't done that yet. I might have done that in the beginning of the year. But welcome you all again to the Islamic Center of Kingston. It's always a pleasure to have all of my brothers and sisters here, especially the young ones. And it's been a great year, mashallah. You've done a lot of tremendous things down at the campus. And I want to just congratulate you for that. And I pray that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your efforts and your deeds and grant you much strength and goodness for the years to come and forgive any shortcomings that may have happened. And I just want to make clear, if it wasn't already, that most of the guys, if not all, who were in the video, aren't actually like that in reality, I hope. And the video has been done purposely, of course. And the point is to highlight the importance of having proper guidance in the pre-marriage process and what can happen if that guidance is not there. And that's where wikinikah.org comes in. And it's supposed to be a real site, it's not a joke. I had this idea one day on Facebook, I was sitting around, and I don't know how I got the idea. And usually when I get an idea, I just post a status update, and people started commenting on it, and actually realized that it may not be a bad idea to start. So we're actually going to be working on that, inshallah. Because I consider it to be my responsibility to help and guide my younger and some older as well, brothers and sisters, when it comes to marriage, and especially when it comes to marriage. Because this is something which is probably, it's probably something that's on your mind, and I don't mean to, you know, distract you from your studies. Please don't blame me when you fail your exam or something. Tell your parents that the imam got us all distracted. Because I know, you know, some of you are graduating, inshallah, and inevitably will be getting married soon, or have already done so. So this is, it's an important decision that obviously you need to make when the time comes. Marriage is very valuable. It's a very serious issue that can have lifelong consequences. So you want to try to do everything that you possibly can to do it as correctly as possible beforehand, so that you can enjoy what marriage is supposed to offer. And that's why I think it's important to have a coach. Okay, so someone who's trustworthy, who's knowledgeable, and who's a matchmaker, who can act as a guide, to guide you through the process. And that way, you're much more likely to avoid common pitfalls. And these pitfalls can, of course, have, unfortunately, serious consequences. So that's one of the purposes of Wikinikah, to hook you up with a matchmaker who can act as a guide and support you in your search. And don't worry, we won't be having her as one of the matchmakers. It's something I found online. And there's different people who can play that role. So I can play that role, my wife can play that role. Like I said, you know, my sister's involved. So different people all around the country. I mean, that's what usually traditionally happens, right? So first your parents look for you. If your parents are not successful, then they go to some auntie who's, you know, compiled a database of, like, you know, 2,000 people who are looking to get married. And then she stares you down for a few seconds, and then she tells you, okay, I've got the right person for you, right? So that's not what we're going to do. But the idea is that, yes, that matchmaker element will be there, so that somebody is there to guide you and to help you through the process. And then that way you can search for people while being supported by a matchmaker and not be alone, lonely, and all alone in that search. Now, the site is not up yet, obviously. I don't know if any of you tried to go to wikinikah.org while the video was being played. The domain has been registered. I own the domain now, so it's not going anywhere. But it will take some time to set it up. But what I'm going to do tonight, inshallah, is in the little time that I have left, even though I just started, I'm going to offer some of the advice that I think is important to offer. Okay, so for many people, marriage is like a mirage. Okay, a mirage is when you're traveling in the heat, especially in the desert or even on the highway, and it's really hot, and out in the distance, you can see that there's some water. When you get there, you realize there's no water there. Okay, so going into marriage, I feel that, you know, you are thirsty, you see water, You have expectations about the water, about its taste, its qualities, its characteristics, but when you get there, it disappears. So my goal is to give you the ability to look beyond this mirage and have preparations and expectations that are grounded in reality. Because you might be able to get up to cloud nine pretty quick, but if you don't have pillars holding your cloud up, what's going to happen? Your cloud is going to fall apart pretty soon. So first of all, please understand that marriage is a part of our faith, is an act of faith. And the Prophet ﷺ has said, "An-nikahu min sunnati." Right? So nikah, marriage, is from my sunnah, from my tradition. And the Prophet ﷺ has also said that, "Waman raghiba an sunnati." So whoever turns away from my sunnah is not of me, meaning is not from our group. Doesn't mean it doesn't make you Muslim anymore, that you're no longer a Muslim, but you're not from the group of people who are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam properly. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran as well, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And it is among His signs that He has created. Now this is the verse which is like read at like every single marriage in the Nikah that you've been to, probably. Okay? But I'll repeat it again. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is among His signs that He has created for you spouses from among yourselves. So this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great sign for us regarding His power and His magnificence. And He says, why? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He says that He has done that so that you may find tranquility in them. And He has created love and kindness between you. Right? So that is the purpose, so that you can find tranquility in your life, which may be escaping you if you are not married yet. And He has created love and kindness between the spouses. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in fact our faith in its entirety, gives us some great guidance when it comes to the marriage process, even before we get married. The Prophet ﷺ has told us prophetic advice. And this was a hadith which like I had, probably that I knew the past when I was studying. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ said, a woman is tunkah al-mar'atu li arba'in. A woman is normally sought as a wife for her wealth, for four things. So for her wealth, beauty, nobility, lineage, or religiousness. And what is the advice of the Prophet ﷺ? فَأَظْفَرَ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. So choose a religious woman, may you prosper. And of course, I mean, this was because the Prophet ﷺ was addressing the men, but the same holds true for when the sisters are making a choice as well. So the advice of the Prophet ﷺ is very clear, that for all of these considerations, or any other considerations for that matter, put the level of religiousness on top, and you will prosper, inshallah. So basically what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us is, don't just plan for this world. When you're looking to get married, don't just limit your planning to this world. But plan for beyond. Plan for the hereafter as well. Because if you have someone who can not only be good for you in this world, but can actually prepare you, right, pull you out of a rut when you're down, when your iman is like, you know, rock bottom, then that's the person who will actually be beneficial for you in the hereafter as well. Right? Because not only will they be a good companion in this world, if they are, you know, practicing the deen properly, but also their advice, their guidance, and their support for you will help your hereafter as well, and you can do the same for them as well. You know, what happens is, we spend too much time, I feel, planning for the actual wedding. Okay, like, as you know, I'm a pretty casual guy, so I didn't really plan that much. I mean, I did a bit of planning, but, you know, really, when we look at weddings nowadays, planning goes on for how long? I don't know. Sisters? You're good at this stuff. Years? No? Years? Weeks? Months at least, right? I know that much. Possibly, you know, a year or two. So we plan a lot for the actual wedding. So, you know, the type of cutlery we're going to have, and the type of food, and the, you know, the type of stage, and the type of this, and the type of that, the wedding dress. There's so many things which are we plan for. But the marriage itself, which is a life, which is supposed to be a lifelong commitment, how long do we spend planning for that? Right? So the focus is all on the big day, and then after the big day you have cloud nine, And I guarantee you that you're not going to be up there forever, okay? Reality hits pretty quick, okay? And I shouldn't say this, but, you know, my wife and I were talking and joking around. And somebody just got married, and, you know, you tell a couple, like, mashallah, they're just like, you know, you think it's, you know, they're in heaven almost. And I'm just like, yeah, you want to bet how long it's going to take before, you know, they come down? So, I mean, that's reality, right? So, not like we're, you know, making fun of anyone, but it happens pretty quick. That's reality, okay? So you want to... So you want to spend time, planning your spot on cloud nine and figuring out how long you can extend that, right? And then hopefully that can extend into the hereafter, and then you will be really on cloud nine, cloud 10, when it comes to Jannah, inshallah, right? So the problem that, another thing that I noticed is we base this decision on emotions, right? We base this, that's what people do nowadays, right? But back in the days, okay, this is how it worked, right? Like, back in the days. So I haven't really lived through this, but, you know, your parents tell you, okay, you know, whatever, we found you someone. Okay, come, you get married, and then, okay, that's your spouse, and then, you know, whether you like it or not, at the end of the day, you sort of have to make it work, and then you end up falling in love, right? But now, the whole thing has been switched. Not that I totally support that, but things have switched around now. And we base the decision on emotions. So you say, oh, I think I'm in love, you know, with that sister. I think I'm in love with that brother. Oh, but I want to be a good Muslim, so yes, I'll marry him or her, whatever. But yeah, and that's great. But if the decision is being based on emotions, then emotions can come and go. Right? You can be on an emotional high one day, and then, like, I don't know, depending on how much you're used to this in your past, like 10 days later, or I don't know, whatever, like, you know, a year later, you could be like, nah, I don't know, I don't have feelings anymore, right? And then you have a problem. Okay, so what I would recommend is that, yes, it's good to have, you know, the desire to peg your love on someone, but keep that someone a variable, okay, like X or Y or whatever, just like some figure, until you actually figure out who that person is, and until things are pretty much confirmed, then you can sort of, you know, move along in the process. Because, you know, Islam is a practical religion, okay? So this is what ideally you want to do. So you want to hold on to your emotions, sort of rein them in until you are, you know, until you are married and you know who your spouse is, and then you know, you let it go. But Islam, being a practical religion, recognizes that doesn't always happen, because, you know, human beings are weak, and it is possible that the reverse, which I've described, can happen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, this is an interesting hadith. Well, actually, before I get to that part, this one also recommending religion and character, right? So before we move on to that second part, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when someone with whose religion and character you are satisfied, ask to marry your daughter, comply with his request. If you do not do so, there will be corruption and great evil on the earth. Now, this doesn't mean that the girl is not going to have any say, right? Of course, the consent is required, but at the same time, it tells us that the priority should be on these things. If the priority is not on these two traits, then there will be problems. And we are starting to see that, unfortunately. Okay, so what I was saying was that if the opposite happens, so if two people fall in love, which naturally happens, even though ideally, you know, we want to control that, that can happen. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, or rather the hadith which mentions, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I am a guardian of an orphan girl. Two men proposed to that girl. One of them is wealthy and the other is poor. Now, this man, being a good guardian, said he'd like to give her to the wealthy, but she wants the poor. So we were trying to recommend to her that, look, you know, this person is more suitable for you, you'll be better able to take care of you, and so on and so forth. But she wants to marry the poor person. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, marriage is the best thing for two lovers. لَمْ تَرَى لِلْمُتَحَابَّنِ مِثْلَ النِّكَاحِ. Right? Beautiful hadith. So we know that if that ends up happening, then nikah is the best option, because of course it's much more better, and halal of course, than zina. Now the one thing you want to avoid doing is ending up with something like this. This is what I call emotional entanglement. Okay? So you are interested in a person, you start looking into that person, you start thinking about that person, And sooner or later, before you know it, even though your intention is good, you're thinking, okay, you're doing this because you want to get married to that person. You start talking, you start communicating. Sooner or later, you start developing pretty strong feelings for one another. Okay? Now your emotions are entangled in that person. And what happens? Two things happen. Number one, you're not able to think rationally anymore. Okay? Because you're all like, it's all emotions now, right? So rationally, you're just like out of the, you know, you're not thinking clear. And secondly, if it doesn't actually go through, then you have a very hard time getting out of that rut. It's really hard to pull yourself out of that. And it can be really, you know, it can be really hard for people. It can be really traumatizing. It could be, you know, there can be a lot of crying and a lot of depression and a lot of sadness and things like that, okay? So guys, please take my advice. Try to keep your emotions in check until you're pretty sure that it's going ahead. Now, a lot of people will say that, okay, the Prophet ﷺ has said that you aim for the deen, and that's where, you know, that's what you should be looking for, that's your priority. So many times when I ask brothers, you know, what kind of sister would you like? They say, yeah, I want, mashallah, I want a good Muslimah, I want someone who's, you know, on the deen. I'm like, yo, what does that mean? Right? Like, what do you, you know, what should, you know, how do you define that? Right? And this is how I then describe it. I mean, I've described it in words to some of you, but I'll actually put it in a little graph, okay? So, when we talk about the deen, I mean, it's no secret that in Islam, there's a lot of diversity, and we have different types of views, and, you know, different opinions and all that, which is fine, okay? But I like to think of them as different highways, okay? So, I've put four here, but whatever, there could be more than four. So you're all different, you know, there's different ways of going towards the same goal, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So different people can be on different highways, okay? Now, the actual practices which we often look at to indicate whether a person is practicing or not are many times the same in all these different highways. Okay? So we say, yeah, I want a sister, you know, who offers her salah, or the sister may say that about the brother, you know, I want someone who whatever, who fasts in Ramadan, who eats halal, who, you know, sister wears a hijab, whatever, okay? So you can have different criteria. But the problem is that criteria could be the same, like I said, on different highways. So what sometimes happens is a brother and sister get married because they all seem like they were compatible in terms of their practice, except after they get married, they realize they're on different highways. Okay? And if you're on different highways, then you've got a problem. Okay? Because sooner or later, something's going to come up, and you're not going to be traveling at the same time, at the same speed, and, you know, someone's going to reach one station, one exit first, someone's going to get there later, you're going to have a problem. So, what I recommend is, what's more important than the actual level of practice is to actually have the same perspective and the same attitude towards the deen. Okay, if both the brother and the sister have a similar approach to the deen, similar attitude, are willing to sort of follow the same path, look up to the same people, follow the same scholars, whatever, then there's a lot better chance that that marriage is going to be successful as opposed to having the brother and the sister who are very similar in terms of practice, actual, you know, actions, but are on different highways. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. All right, thank you. I wasn't sure. All right, so that's the first thing. Now, the second thing is that it's no secret that nowadays a huge priority is looks, okay? And the way I see it, it's superficiality, right? Because beauty is skin deep. Brother's going to say, I want a beautiful sister, I want her to be like this, and I want her to be like that. Sister's going to say, I want a handsome brother, I want him to be tall, I want him to be this, and I want him to be that, okay? Problem is, like I said, it's superficial, and it can come, and it can go. And if you make that your priority, then that is what you will get. Thing is, another thing which is not a secret, okay, we all, especially brothers, but sisters as well, are used to certain images that we see in the media, okay? So we see them in books, we see them in movies, we see them in ads and commercials, and other stuff, okay? And these are the images of beauty which build our expectation, okay? So this is what we want. So we get used to seeing beauty as it's defined in the media, and of all the things that we consume, and we decide that, okay, that's what beauty is. And the same thing for the sisters, and actually becoming a big problem on the sister side as well, unfortunately. And I've heard that from social workers. Okay, so you go into this with all these false expectations, except most of these people don't even exist in terms of their beauty. Okay? So a lot of times the beauty has been, you know, the pictures have been photoshopped, they've been edited, they've been tweaked. So those people actually don't even exist. Okay? And that's what you're expecting when you're trying to marry a sister, and the sisters are expecting the same when it comes to the brothers, but are also then trying to satisfy the expectations of the brothers and are working hard. So basically everyone's like going around in circles trying to like satisfy and come up to something that doesn't even exist. Okay? And that's messed up as far as I'm concerned. Okay? Because it's a vicious cycle to nowhere. So I'm not saying that it can't be a consideration. Okay? I'm not saying that beauty should be no consideration whatsoever. But what I'm asking you is, should it be the priority? Is it the most important thing that a person can give you? You know, marriage is a give and take. So, you know, does beauty on the inside matter more, or is it the beauty on the outside that matters more to you? If you can get both, then wonderful. Okay, that's great. But which one is the priority, and what should you be focused on? What should your focus be on? And that's something to think about. All right, so we're running out of time. So I'm going to give you an action plan, all right? Oh, there's some speciality, by the way. That's like the most benign picture I've ever mind. Okay, here's your action plan, okay? So when people come up to me, when brothers come to me, or sisters come to my wife, usually this is what I recommend, okay? So this is your action plan right here. Yes, please take a picture and post it online. Okay, number one, the first thing you need to do is discover yourself, okay? Discover yourself. You've got to know what your likes are. You need to know what your dislikes are. You need to know what your attitude's like. You need to know what your personality is like. Okay, you need to know who you are first. And what I recommend is that you really write this down. Okay, because you might think you really know who you are, but you will really get a good sense of who you are when you actually look at it on a piece of paper, and that'll be like a mirror. And you look at it and you'll be like, hey, that's really what I'm like. Okay, so for example, what really ticks you off? What makes you angry? What makes you happy? Right, what makes you sad? And so on and so forth. So that's number one. Okay, you gotta know who you are first. Number two, you've got to list your expectations. Okay, list all of your expectations. I don't care how outrageous they may be, whatever it is. Write down all your expectations. If you want a wife who's going to sit at home and cook all day, write it down. You know, if you want a husband who drives a sports car, write it down. Okay, if you want whatever, okay, I'm not going to go on. Whatever it is, write it down. Okay? Number three, once you've written all that down, regardless of how long the list is, then prioritize. Okay, prioritize that, yes, that sports car is the most important out of everything, or yes, a sister who looks like a supermodel is number one, or her dean is number one, whatever it is, okay? Or rich, 1, 2, 3, whatever it is. Whatever it is, he's really not like that, okay? Don't worry, cut him some slack. I think, from what I've gotten to know about him. So, you list, you put them all in order, okay? So, that if, and that's number four, figure out what you're willing to compromise on. Okay, so once you have this list of expectations, you figure out, okay, you know what? Yeah, that sports car is sort of nice. I also had a dream of riding in a convertible with my husband. But, okay, if he doesn't have a convertible right now, that's all right. Maybe he'll get one later, inshallah. Okay? So you can compromise on that. Or, you know, for the brothers, if you have certain expectations in terms of, well, the sister must be between 23 and 25 years old. My parents said she must be 5 years younger than me. She must be at least 5'8". She must have whatever, this skin color. She must weigh this much. Whatever it is, okay? See what you can compromise on, okay? What is actually important? What is not important? What are you willing to cross out if you need to? And then finally, number five in your action plan, what is your idea of a good spouse? Okay? Or maybe actually, you know what? Maybe this should be switched around. Maybe this should be number two. So what is your idea of a good spouse? Okay, like what do you actually expect? Do you want your wife to be like how your mom was with your dad? You know, or like, are you expecting that your husband's going to be like your, like someone with the same personality as your father? Because that actually happens, right? Guys go into a marriage thinking that, oh, they're getting married, and their wife is going to do everything that their mom used to do for them. Okay? The mom grew up like in the 50s or the 60s. Okay? Like, hello, wake up and smell the coffee, guys. Okay? Times have changed. Okay? You're not going to get someone like that anymore. I don't care where you go in the world. Most chances are you're not going to find someone like that. Okay? So, write down what you are actually looking for, so that when I see your profile, I'll tell you, nah, that ain't gonna happen, man. Or, you're gonna be in this lineup for a pretty long time. Okay? So write it all down, so you know exactly what you are looking for. You know, our approach needs to be different from the rest of the world, or at least rest of the society that's around us. Because if we do it the way our neighbors are doing it, and I mean our neighbors of other faiths and cultures doing it, we will end up with the same results. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, okay? If you do 2 plus 2 in English, it's going to equal 4. Okay, if you do 2 plus 2 in Arabic or Urdu, it's still going to equal 4. Okay, so if we follow the same path, all right, as others, we will end up with the same results as well. And we're seeing that more and more, unfortunately. So, again, my dear brothers and sisters, I recommend that you take a rational approach, not an emotional approach. And because once you get emotional, you will end up convincing yourself that even poison is good for you. Okay? Your emotions will take you to the point where, and people do that, right? Like, we see all these, like, you know, love, whatever, like, shootings and, you know, people, like, you know, jumping off stuff. Like, you know, doing stuff, like, crazy things that you never imagined they do. But they do it because they're in that emotional, romantic state. And there's something like, you know, oh, whatever, if you don't give me this, you know, I'm going to jump off the balcony. And then they actually end up doing it, right? So, I mean, people do things like that, unfortunately. Okay? So don't get emotional. I'm 3 minutes late. I'm going to finish this quickly. Okay, and finally, when you actually get to the wedding itself, okay? Like, I don't know, I just Google image this picture. It doesn't look right. Is that like what some of you have in mind? Like, I don't know. Right? Mine wasn't like that, okay? So, I don't know what's good or not. But anyway, I found it on Google Images. Okay. So anyway, that's not the point, though. The point is, when you finally get to the wedding itself, we are, knowing that it's an act of faith, we are in search and in need of blessings. Okay? So people will often come up to me and say, Imam, you know, I'm getting married, please make dua for me. You know, mom will come up to me, Imam Saab, you know, my son, daughter is getting married, please make dua for them. And of course I give them my sincere duas. But if we are in such a desperate search for blessings, shouldn't we try our best to actually do it right? Okay? Because if we don't do it right, how can we expect Allah's blessings if you're starting off on the wrong foot? So look at some of the things that teachings we find. The Prophet has actually said, the most blessed marriage is the one with the least expenses. Okay? As we see marriages getting more and more expensive and fancy, what are we seeing? Bing! Right? We're seeing a drop. Sorry, I'm bad with sound effects. Okay, so, right? So I think there might actually be a correlation between the two. Right? There's a link between the two. So the more wasteful we get, and the more, you know, elaborate, I'm not saying, you know, it needs to be totally like a budget wedding, that's fine. I mean, you can, if your parents want to spend a bit, whatever, you want to enjoy, that's all cool. But just remember this, that the most blessed marriage is the one with the least expenses, okay? The amount of happiness does not depend on how much money you spend, really, okay? It really doesn't. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He does not love the wasters. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ He doesn't like the people who waste. And how much waste actually occurs in many of our weddings. We have like 10 pre-ceremonies before the actual wedding. Okay? And then you have the wedding, and just imagine how much food actually goes to waste in all these parties and these weddings. So how can we expect Allah's blessings if Allah says that He does not love the wasters? Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the men, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ Tell the believing men to lower their gaze. If you're going to have a wedding where there's all this partying going on, and the brothers and sisters are all mixed, everyone's decked out, brothers are not lowering their gazes there. Okay? I know of people who actually go to weddings to check girls out. Does that seem shocking coming from an imam or something? Or are you guys looking at me like that? Okay? I'm serious. People do that. Okay? So if you're going to have that type of setup, okay, clearly going against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you expect that wedding to be blessed by Allah? Allah says about the sisters, they should not display their ornaments to unrelated men, brackets, except that which appears thereof. Sisters, be honest. When you go to a wedding, whatever's appearing is not just what appears thereof, okay? Everyone's decked out, okay? We all know that. That's not a secret. Okay, again, if you're not that I'm saying you shouldn't get dressed up for a wedding. Sure, go ahead, do whatever you want to do it. But do it in the proper setting. If the setting is not proper and you're breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please explain to me, how can we expect then that these weddings are going to be blessed? Another one which I forgot to add is Allah says to
Be good to your parents. Right? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be kind, be good to your parents. If you're going to go and disappoint your parents in this marriage, again, it becomes much more difficult to get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that parents should control their kids either, and my mom actually suggested that, as some half of you know, that I should give a khutbah on that. She's like, you know, one day you should give a khutbah, and you should give a khutbah on how parents should allow their children to, you know, have their own choices when it comes to marriage. I'm like, wow, the qiyamah must be near, right? Seriously, my mom's saying that, you know, but she has a point. She has a point, of course. Anyway, so let's try to do it right, and set off on the best foot possible, because you know what? Even the most prepared presenters and athletes trip up sometimes. It happens, okay? So you can be, you know, you can think you're all good, but people trip up. So it's not a guarantee, okay? It's not a guarantee that if you do all of this, you know, that everything's going to go well. So then, you know, 10 years later, you come back to me. Remember, you had a talk, you gave prompts, and then I did everything you told me about. My marriage still failed, okay? It's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. But we must try our best. Some of you know this by now, right? So that's the golden rule. So we try our best, then we leave for Allah the rest. Are we good on time or are we running late? We're good? Can I have like 2 more minutes? Okay, so in those 2 minutes, I would actually like to do something which I haven't told anyone I'm going to do. But I'm going to ask my wife to come up and say a few words, inshallah. Raheem? She's going to set this straight, okay? She actually looked over this whole presentation and all my notes. That happens for some people.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I don't think I can formally introduce everyone here. I'm actually a student at Queens.
So she belongs here, as opposed to me.
But I'm all the way for far up the west side of the campus. And sorry, I don't really come to the concert, and I'm really busy. That's the little ones. And I'm also the Hiri Mom Sikandar's wife. A couple of words I wanted to say about marriage is, I want to just leave you with 3 words: flexibility, compromise, and adaptability. These are 3 things I think we all, men and women, need to like really work on before marriage when you're looking for a spouse, and after marriage too. So not that I'm saying I had to do a lot of adaptability after marriage, but it comes in every marriage. I mean, I changed my entire country. I was in New York. I had to move all the way to Montreal, which was French, and you know, I had to like really adapt to that. But and every marriage, even if you're within the same city, there's a lot of compromise and flexibility and compromise that comes with it. Is there anything else? Good?
Thank you. Greetings. All right. May Allah grant you all good, perfect spouses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in goodness, in wisdom, in iman. May Allah grant you lots of love. Yes, and please don't laugh this time. Okay, I gave a khutbah about it last time you laughed when I said that. Okay? So please, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you lots of love, lots of goodness, lots of peace in this world and in the hereafter. Give you healthy families and really a life of fulfillment. See, while seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen wa khuda wa alhamdulillah.
Okay. JazakAllah, and Sister Pravin, for the great advice.